All right, thank you for that. Did you get the handout? We're going to look specifically about our building campaign tonight. I know we've been talking about the reaching and teaching them in different aspects of our ministry, so you kind of get an idea of what we're trying to accomplish. Tonight we're going to look at our campaign, or will not be long. We're abbreviating things with the fellowship before, but it's important that we are ready. Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligent, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We will take our offering in a week and a half. And it's just very, very important. They've all been important. This is no different. This is the one that's going to put us over the finish line to get into the building. And so I want us to think about that a little bit and think about giving. Okay? Giving is very important. Our cash offerings, specifically for this project, our cash offering and our commitments are very important. Now, as we look at the lesson this evening, we understand that God desires that his people, as it mentioned in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, that we give simply. Just give simply. If we don't give with a good heart, we don't give simply, then what we're doing is we're giving grudgingly. Okay? 2 Corinthians 9:7 does say, let every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, I have heard a couple of things that are a bit false. Someone has said, you know, God loves a cheerful giver, and I'll take any grouch. How many of you have heard that one, right? And I've heard other people say that if you can't give cheerfully, you should not give at all. That's not what this verse is teaching. Because when we give to God, we're giving out of, first of all, the right kind of heart, as we'll look about, but we're also giving out of obedience. And God's telling us how we should obey. God's not giving us a door out if we don't want to obey. And the reason we don't give out of cheerfulness is because we don't have a proper understanding of giving, and we don't really got it, and we're not on God's team when it comes to that. Simple giving means we give with a willing and cheerful heart. By the way, if someone gives willingly, they usually give cheerfully. But if we don't give willingly, then we're not giving cheerfully. This manner of giving can be seen in James, where the Lord gives wisdom, which the Bible tells us is greater than rubies of this world. It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. The Bible says that God does not upbraid us when we ask for things. In fact, God gives us really more than we deserve in any way. If we were to think about it, we would get that. And so tonight, in the few minutes we have, I want us to look at how we can simply give to the Finishing Together building campaign. You know, our giving portal on the internet, on our phones, and on on the internet is called Simply Give. Okay, and I kind of like that. That's kind of biblical in a sense. We should just be able to give very simply to God. Three ways we can do that. Number one, simply remember. Simply remember. What do I mean? Look at James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift comes from God. God gives to us everything that we have. When we talk about stewardship, we're talking about managing that which God has very bountifully and very graciously given to us, whether that's our life, whether that's our money, whatever that is, our children, our marriage, whatever. God gives it to us. So giving with simplicity becomes easier when we remember that we are simply funneling that which God has given to us. In other words, anything we give, when we give. And by the way, I appreciate people that give and people that sacrifice. I appreciate it. We have a very giving and sacrificial church. But ultimately, we think that we have to understand that what we are giving, although it is generous, although it is sacrificial, it really is something that God has allowed us to give, and he's funneling it through us. That doesn't mean that God isn't going to bless us or God's not for us, but when we think of it that way, we're remembering that it comes from God in the first place. By the way, I didn't mention, Brother Two's with us. Raise your hand, Brother Two. God bless you. He's back in town, and he's going to San Diego, and then he's going to be flying out on Tuesday. So make sure you say goodbye to him and his girls tonight. They're going back to Cambodia, but I'm sure we'll see them again sometime in the future. Back to this. So we have to remember, everything we have and everything we are able to give was given to us from God in the first place. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, what is the good work he's really talking about in this chapter? And in chapter 8 of 2nd, he's talking about giving. Okay? God gives to us so that we can give for every good work. God's way of taking care of his work is accomplished through what he gives to his people to manage and to give. Sometimes we're looking for that miraculous gift to come from heaven to the church, and I've been looking for it too, okay? And I don't know if there's like a Daniel 10 situation going on, you know, the Satan's angel style. I don't know where it is, okay? I know I hear from other pastors, you know, like, oh, this organization gave our church $500,000. That organization didn't give us anything. Okay, I was at Brother Trevor's a few years ago, and someone gave their church $900,000. Yeah, that's nice. And I rejoice for him, okay? But no one's given us $900,000. Just so happens God has chosen. Now, maybe he will in the future, and I take it. But it just so happens that God has chosen for us to meet the needs of our church here. If God's going to meet the need of our church here, he meets it through the people of the church. We're not some part of denomination that's going to be giving out money. We need to steward what God gives us, remembering that it does come from him. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for he it is that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with which he made unto his fathers as it is this day." He even tells us that, you know, by the way, God blesses hard work and God blesses diligence. But God gives you those abilities. He gives you some people are just good at business-minded. God gave them that mind. Some people are good at doing things in certain careers. God gave them that ability to do it. So everything comes from God. So the question we need to understand is, before we think about giving and we think about sacrificing, do we really understand where everything we have comes from in the first place? You can all give these stories. I've had several of them with my grandkids where you'll give them some. One of the girls was there, and we gave her popcorn, and we made it for her and gave it to her, and she's walking by like, "Hey, can Grandpa have a little bit of popcorn?" It's like, "No." Well, no doesn't fly at our house, okay? So I very kindly explained to her that no is not going to be acceptable. She better come over and share the popcorn right now. Grandpa gave her the popcorn in the first place. And she's like, "Oh, you want some?" And she even gave me two handfuls, okay? But we're like that sometimes with God. He gives to us, and we don't want to be generous. We don't want to give back to him. And it's like, "I gave you that, and I'm all I do is ask you to be generous and give back to me some of what I have given to you." We are more apt to release the resources necessary to fund the work of God when we remember that God himself placed it in our hands for that very purpose. Could it be that God has blessed maybe some of us a little this year so that he knew that this building was banquet was coming? He knew we were right at the end. He knew we needed to push forward so that we could give a little bit more than we were thinking of giving. Could it be? So we need to think about that. Here's a quote I found. It says, "All too often we regard stewardship simply as a matter of our giving to God. But this aspect is secondary. Before we can give, we must possess, and before we possess, we must receive. Therefore, stewardship is, in the first place, receiving God's good and bountiful gifts. And once received, those gifts are not to be used solely for our own good. They must also be used for the benefit of others, and ultimately for the glory of God, the giver." This last phrase: "The steward needs an open hand to receive from God and an active hand to give to God and others. God gives us everything. Once we realize that giving is not as big a deal as we see as it sometimes seems to be. The Bible is true when it states that it is God that gives us the power to get wealth, and not just the wealth itself. But once it's gained, we are to distribute it generously to those in need. Proverbs 3:27, withhold not good for them to whom it is due, what is in the power of thine hand to do so. So first of all, we need to simply remember. Secondly, if we're going to give right, we need to simply recognize. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. We know this verse well. It says, I have showed you all things. How that? So laboring, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So what is it we need to recognize? We must recognize who it is that truly receives the blessing in giving. Because, see, here's the way we think. We think that we are blessed when we receive. When we receive a gift, right? I mean, that's the happy person. Not the one that forked out the money. Not the one that gave it to them. No, the Bible says the opposite. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, that doesn't mean it's not blessed to receive. And outside, let's make sure we're paying attention outside, okay? If you're sitting out on the patio, make sure you're paying attention, especially teenagers. Back to our regularly scheduled message. What it is saying is that it's more blessed. In other words, it is a blessing. When someone gives you a gift, you don't say, oh, man, they got the blessing. Oh, well, what a bummer. Look, if someone came by and said, I've heard about your church, I want to donate $1 million, I'm going to say, man, you got all the blessing. I'm going to say, okay, let me show you how we can get this into the bank. But you know who the real blessed person is? It's the one who gives. Right. See? They're the one that gets an even bigger blessing. Look, as a parent, you understand that, right? You give something to your children, you're glad to see them. You're glad to see them happy. You're glad that they enjoy what they're receiving. But your joy is almost more than theirs. I read a book many years ago. I shouldn't have wasted my time because all I had to do was read the title and the first story and I would have been done with it. It was called The Donut Principle, about giving. And he gave a story. He said he was sitting in his house, and you know how little children are, and his daughter was playing with a bunch of like plastic food, you know. And she grabbed a plastic donut and she brought it to dad. And you know how dad, oh, thank you so much. I really love this. And then he said as she walked away, he saw the big smile on her face and how she enjoyed giving him the donut than he did receiving the toy donut. And that was the whole premise of the book. It's more blessed to give, the happy one. We're more blessed, and we have to recognize that. Biblically, it is not true that if you receive the gift, you get more. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25 says this. The liberal soul shall be made fat. That doesn't mean if you're overweight, you're liberal, okay? The blessing. If you're liberal in your giving, the fat is really a euphemism in the Bible for God's blessings. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. God say, look, you give, God takes care of you, and you're getting more than you're actually giving. Not necessarily in a tangible way, but maybe an intangible way. When we give, God assures us that he will continue to give to us. He'll take care of us. Therefore, the primary recipient of the gift is the giver. I like this verse in Luke. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, give and it shall be given you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give to your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal shall it be measured to you. When God gives back to you, he gives back to you. He doesn't just throw it. You know, it's like when you're putting something in a trash can and you need room. Trash can's never full, okay? You can always get on top of that thing and jump up and down on it, and you can make more room. It's not like potato chips. You know, we always joke around that you open up a potato chip bag and it's 70% air. And that's true. We literally, we went to, several months ago, we went to Pizza Mania by our house and got a sandwich and it came with a bag, a small bag of chips. And I opened it up and there was not one chip in there. It was literally a bag of air. And I'm like, well, what is going on here? Okay, that's not how God gives back to us. God says, man, I'm gonna give to you, I'm gonna bless you, and I'm gonna shake it down. You're gonna get a lot more blessing than you think you're getting. The one who gives is blessed. It's easier to give with simplicity when we recognize that we will be blessed because of it. Now, someone's like, you know, you shouldn't give to be blessed. That's true, but you know what? It's a blessing that you are blessed. Whether it's just the feeling you get, knowing you're in on God's kingdom, knowing you're in on what God is doing and that you've invested in that. But God does bless you. Now, recognizing this, we do understand that there is a double blessing. The receiver of the gift is also blessed, and the giver of the gift is blessed. So when you give a gift, there's a double blessing. There's a double blessing to one who receives the gift. By the way, in the context of our building, who's receiving the gift? The people that are going to be helped once we get in there. The people that will be reached in our church more efficiently because we have a better facility. Okay? And so we're blessing those people. We're blessing the future. But we're also going to be blessed for our sacrifice and for our giving. And so we need to simply recognize that the one who gives is more blessed than the one who receives the gifts. And then lastly, we need to be simply ready. Simply ready. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 19. He says, charge them, give them a challenge, that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, I know he's talking to those that had an abundance, but I'll just be honest with you. In America, most people in America are in the top 5% of the world when it comes to income. I'll just be honest with you. Now, we don't tend to see it that way because we tend to see everything simply by our own country. Okay, we take for granted so many things that most countries are amazed that we have. I mean, you just look at our missionaries. You know, I think recently their electricity was being cut out all day, and they had to live without air conditioning. I mean, they're serving the Lord. Okay. That's tough. I mean, if our air conditioning goes out, we lose it. If our fan goes out, we lose it. But we are rich in a sense. So he's talking to those who are rich, who have. He goes, what's he telling them? He goes, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Really, God's saying you're sending it on ahead. What is God telling him? God said, you know what? Those that have, you should be ready to give. It's a sad fact of life that those that have the most give the least. It's just how it is. But here's what he said to those that were rich. He said, don't be proud. Don't trust in your abundance. Remember to give. Remember the Lord who gave it to you in the first place. And don't think that you're exempt from serving and giving to others. And that seems to be what happens to us. The more we have, why is it that the more we have, the harder it is for us to give? You know, here's a Christian parent, they teach their children to give. It's like, all right, if I give you a dollar, how much are you going to put in the offering plate on Sunday? We're going to give a dime. Hey, children are all in on giving. They are all in on giving. But then something happens when they get out of high school and they get a job and they actually start making real money. Now it's not just giving a dime out of the dollar daddy gave me. Now it's like, this is my income. They have to really determine, are you going to give? They need to learn how to do that. Be ready to do it. Giving should not be something that we might do or that we're praying about doing. Timothy's telling us we ought to be ready to do it. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. And that's just a principle of spirituality. You know, if we can be a blessing, if we can be involved, if we can be good to anybody in any way, particularly the brethren, we ought to get involved completely. So we ought to be giving. Many opportunities will not always be there. Being ready to give takes willingness, preparation, and a resolve. We're not always going to be building a building. Now, I think it's felt like that, okay? I'll be honest. But we're not always going to be building. we're going to be in there one day. And that opportunity will be closed. The opportunity to say, was I involved with giving in that bill? Was I involved with getting us there? And so we need to take advantage and be ready to give. David Livingstone said this, I place no value on anything I have or may possess, except in relation to the kingdom of God or eternity. If anything will advance the interest of the kingdom, it shall be given away or kept only as by giving or keeping it, I shall most promote the glory of him to whom I owe all my hopes and time or eternity. Basically what he's saying is everything I have, I value it and how I use it based on how's it going to affect eternity. We spend maybe 70 or 80 years on this earth and then we go to heaven. And we'll be in heaven forever. And we invest on things here on the earth and we plan for our retirement. There's nothing wrong with that. But are we planning for our eternity? Are we looking at it from the standpoint of, we called it a few weeks ago by Easter, a better resurrection? Are we doing that which really has eternal value? Giving is one of those things that helps us to have the right kind of mindset. And I hope that you get behind this, okay? I hope you're not just seeing this as just, this is just another year. No, this is vital. We're going to get it done this year. But we have to have everybody all in. Okay, and maybe you've been a little slow to come to that realization. Listen, this is your church as much as it's my church. We're all in this thing together. The only way that thing is going to be accomplished is all of us doing our part, finding out what God would have us to do, and being obedient to that. I think we're going to be very pleased with the results. Let's pray this evening.